بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to speak to you today about the fundamentals of leadership. And the reason for that is because that is the purpose why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this ummah, to be leaders for the world. The dalil for this, the proof of this, is the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Imran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you Muslims are the best of people ever raised up for the benefit of mankind. Linnas, for mankind. And what do? تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ لِلْمُنْكَرِ. You enjoin good and you forbid evil. And you believe in Allah. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. If you ask me to describe the essentials of leadership in one word, and I have been studying and teaching leadership now for 35 years. I have written several books on leadership. And if you ask me to describe leadership in one word, that one word is differentiate. To differentiate, you need to build trust. To be trusted, you need to be known for reliability. And to be reliable, you have to deliver on promises. When you deliver on promises, you are seen as reliable. If you are reliable, you are trusted. And when you are trusted, then you differentiate. Especially in today's world, where one of the biggest deficiencies is trust. We live in a society which is very untrustworthy and untrusting. Why should you differentiate? Because you can stand out. Why should you stand out? Because only then can anyone follow you. A leader has followers because he or she stands out based on what followers consider beneficial for them. This ayat which I recited before you defines our identity. People whose purpose of existence is to benefit others. This is our metric. It is the basis on which we will be judged when we meet Allah. This is our differentiator, and it is based on this that we stand out. Or should stand out. It is based on this that we are distinguished from others. It is based on this that we will be respected and loved and will have influence. Please note that the ayah does not refer only to our aqidah or ibadat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it's our job to enjoin all that is good and forbid all that is evil. And this therefore shows also that we need to collaborate with others who work for good and against evil, even if they are not Muslim. Today, for example, one of the most in-the-face things is taking precautions against COVID to protect ourselves and others. This is within the purview of enjoining good and forbidding evil. The reality of life is that when you differentiate based on benefiting people, you are beloved and popular. You are trusted and looked up to, and you become influential. People love those who give and hate those who take. We were sent to take from Allah and give to the people. That is why we need to build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and learn to take from Him alone. Ask only Allah, because only Allah likes those who ask. Hisham bin Abdul Malik, the Khalifa of Banu Umayya, went for Hajj. And after Hajj, he was making tawaf of the Kaaba, and he noticed that along with him was Salim bin Abdullah bin Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, the grandson of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. And Hisham bin Abdul Malik noticed that Salim bin Abdullah was holding his shoes in his hand. And these were, they looked like they were kind of broken, old shoes, beat up old shoes. And he was wearing a thobe, which was, Hisham bin Abdul Malik thought that this thobe could not have cost more than maybe 2 dirham. So he knew who he was. So while making tawaf, he went and quietly he asked him, "Ya Salim, is there anything you need? Tell me, can I help you? Is there anything you need?" I'm talking about taking from Allah. So Salim bin Abdullah, he looked at Hisham, and from his face was reflected anger. And he said to him, "You have no manners. You are asking me to tell you what I need when we are making tawaf of the Kaaba inside the haram. You want me to ask you instead of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" They finished tawaf, and after that they went out of the masjid. So when they were outside the masjid, Hisham bin Abdul Malik again went to him. And he said to him, "Ya Salim, we are not inside the masjid now. Tell me, is there anything you need? What can I give you?" Salim bin Abdullah bin Umar bin Khattab, he said to him, "Do you want me to tell you, are you asking about my needs in the dunya or my need in the akhirah?" So Hisham bin Abdul Malik said, "Your need in the akhirah I cannot do anything about, but your need in the dunya, tell me, what do you need? What can I give you?" Salim bin Abdullah bin Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, "For my need in this dunya, I do not even ask the one who owns this dunya. You want me to ask you when you don't own the dunya?" There are levels of tawakkul. It is not prohibited to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your needs in the dunya. But these, I'm talking about distinguishing yourself, differentiators. These are the markers. These are the standard setters. These are the standard bearers of the one who, when he was dying, he asks, "Aisha, is there anything in the house?" And she, our mother, radiallahu anha, she brings a few coins. And she says, "Ya Rasulullah, I have only this." He says, "Give it. Give it away in charity." He is in the state of nadha. He is going in and out. He is losing consciousness, getting back consciousness. When he gets back consciousness, "Aisha, what did you do with that?" Imagine her. She is losing the one she loves beyond anybody else. What must be her state of mind at that time? She says, Ya Rasulullah, I will give it. He says, bring it here. Give it to me. He holds the coins in his hand. And he says, Ya Aisha, do you want the Rasul of Allah to meet Allah like this, with this in his hand? Ajeeba. There is tawakkul and tawakkul. These are our standard bearers. These are the markers. So Salim bin Abdullah bin Abdul, when Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says to Hisham bin Abdul Malik, you want me to ask you for my needs in this dunya when I do not even ask the owner of this dunya? You want me to ask you when you are not even the owner? Brothers and sisters, look at the alqab, the laqab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the context of what I said to you, which is that reliability builds trust, and trust is the thing on the basis of which you differentiate. As-sadiqul amin, the trustworthy, the truthful and the trustworthy. The one who always delivered on his promises, the one who walked his talk, the one who never made excuses, because excuses don't change reality. The focus on benefiting others, on being beneficial with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, called the purpose of our existence, is based on concern for others. Islam came as a system of system for social reform. It came to teach people that our actions have a twofold effect: visible effects in this life and invisible effects in the akhirah. And that is why Islam focuses on safety, salama, for all, justice, adil, knowing that we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and compassion as a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion and mercy, which is ar-Rahmah. This is what we need to monitor in our lives. Do we see this in our lives on a daily basis, in our interactions, within our families, outside our families, our interaction in business, our interaction in communities, in the masjid, our interaction generally with people? Do they reflect a focus on concern for others, a focus on justice, with the understanding that we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a focus on compassion and mercy? أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، قال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, I mentioned these three things: concern for people, adl, justice, and compassion and mercy, rahma, which is forgiveness. We are reminded of this in the ayah which we hear in every Jummah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Allah said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins al-adl, justice, and al-ihsan, which is excellence, doing more than what justice requires, and helping families, kith and kin, and forbidding al-fahsha, all shameless acts, all kinds of sins, and al-munkar, which is disbelief and rebelliousness, and al-baghi, which is oppression of any kind. And he, Jalla Jalaluhu, admonishes you that you may take heed. On the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. And if he is not able to do that, then let him change it with his tongue. And if he is not able to do that, even that, then with his heart. And that, the last one, is the weakest of faith. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Being an idle spectator is not an option for us if there is something that we can do. It is only when you are totally helpless that you are ordered to hate the act, meaning not to participate in it, and to know that the action is wrong. And this last piece Rasulullah ﷺ called a sign of weakness of faith. Islam is all about contribution. So let us measure our own. In the words of Michael Harry, the author of Six Sigma Quality Standard, he said, if you want to see what people value, see what they measure. If you want to see what people value, see what they measure. Let us take being beneficial as the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for. And we'll measure us on and ask ourselves, is this my top concern? Is this our top concern? Is this the question we ask most often? And that question is, are we being beneficial? And if so, how? Is this a question, for example, that we ask in our board meetings? Is this a question that we ask in our families at home? How were we beneficial this week? To whom? And in what way? Do we take an account of this like we check our financial accounts, for example? What was the amount received last week? How much do I have? What do I have to pay? Do we check? Was I beneficial? Remember, what we don't measure, we don't know. What we don't know, we can't control. What we can't control, we cannot guarantee. If you want to guarantee quality, you must be able to control that process. To control the process, you need to measure the process. Unless you measure, you don't know. So let's start measuring. Let's ask this question in every meeting. Let us ask this question at home. Let it be uncomfortable. Discomfort is a sign of change, which we need very badly. Discomfort will lead us to do something to become beneficial. Another thing to do is to speak to our neighbors and ask them what they think of us. I'm not talking about email service. I'm talking about going and talking to people face to face. In GE, we have a system called VOC, Voice of Customer, where we have customers who come into a GE facility to talk about their experiences as users of GE products and services. The job of the GE executives and managers listening to the customers is simply to listen and take notes and then deal with the grievances and service failures and report back to the customers. That way the customers know that their feedback was useful and beneficial and just didn't go down the tube. And GE on this basis is able to build a loyal customer base. Who are our customers as Muslims? Everyone who comes into contact with us. I love the definition of customer and this point of contact, which is called the moment of truth. And this is a brilliant definition which was coined by a man called Jan Carlson, who was the CEO of the SAS Scandinavian Airlines Group from 1981 to 1984. At the time that Jan Carlson took over the SAS Group, it was losing $17 million per annum. We're talking about 1981. 1 year after he took over, SAS Group made a profit of $54 million. What he did was, he did a whole lot of stuff which I'm not going to talk now, But what he did was a definition of moment of truth. He said, a moment of truth is that moment when a customer or a potential customer comes into contact with any aspect of our business and has the opportunity to form an opinion. I will repeat that. He said a moment of truth is that moment when a customer or a potential customer comes into contact with any aspect of our business and has the opportunity to form an opinion. Take that and apply this to ourselves as Muslims, to our institutions, movements, enterprises, and ask ourselves this question: how do we think we measure on this scale? What we need to do is to identify who our customers are, who come into contact with us, with our activities, remembering that a lot of that contact may be remote, silent, and in passing. But the opinions formed are real and long-lasting, if not permanent. When you park your car on somebody else's lawn, you are making a statement about yourself. That is a moment of truth. And that's a moment of truth gone very badly wrong. I can give you a lot more examples. I don't think it's necessary. You know them yourself. My brothers and sisters, let me close the circle by returning to where I began. Our need to differentiate based on the purpose of our creation, which is to be beneficial to everyone around us. Let us remember that purpose deserves our full attention, time and resources. It's not a hobby, it's not a pastime which we do when we feel like it. Purpose is the reason we exist. Purpose is what gives us meaning. Purpose is what we will be measured on. Purpose is our legacy. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the ability to live our purpose. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in ways that only He can help and in ways that are beyond your imagination. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as with khair and afiyah, and to give you that which is beneficial for you, and then to add to that from His majesty and grace. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in ways that you can't imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure all those who are sick. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all those who passed away. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to live your lives in a way which is pleasing to Him, and to take you in a state which is pleasing to Him, and to resurrect you in the company of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and to honor you and to bless you and to reward you when you stand before Him in keeping with His glory, His majesty and His grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya ibadallah, rahimakumullah, inna allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkurullaha yadhkurukum, udu yastajib lakum. Wa ladhikrullahi akbar, wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Aqimus salah.